course, there's two comings of Christ. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Even your aimless, careless, pseudo-Bible reader today knows that. Why? Because it's already happened. Christ came in humiliation, not in glory. So we all can see it in hindsight. But there was a day when it wasn't so simple because it hadn't happened yet. And a lot of people's hopes and dreams and expectations overruled their scriptural sense to the point that even the disciples, they had prophecies that said that Messiah would be cut off. It's in Daniel. That Israel would be dispersed once again. But it's harder to see when it hasn't happened yet, and all you got are these a few phrases here and there that something bad's going to happen. And they simply didn't understand them, or they read them and didn't believe them, whatever. But once it happens, then everybody's a genius. Oh, yeah, well, sure, two comings of Messiah. Yeah, we got it. Well, folks, likewise today, we have the writings of the Apostle Paul. So we know that there's a secret administration. We know. Not everybody knows that, because many people today fall into the position of the disciples of our Lord's day. Are you going to bring the kingdom now? How come you are going to die? Well, we're not going to let you die. They didn't know the prophecies, but they had smart people in Israel who knew that Messiah was going to be cut off, because they read Daniel and they believed it in spite of the popular notions. And I'm telling you that the killing of Christ, the cutting off of Christ, nobody wanted to see it. So, I mean, you would see it in Daniel, but you wouldn't believe it because you didn't want to believe it. Likewise, people don't want to believe that there could be this long interval between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. And they don't like it so badly that they say he did come. Oh, he already came in 70 AD. They don't want to believe Paul. See, so we're in the position of the smart ones in Israel. We're like the Simeons and the Annas, who were apprised of the times and who expected the Messiah to come because they read the prophecies, and those in Israel who knew that the Messiah was going to be cut off, but not even his disciples knew that. So we're smart. We're smart people because we can see it before it happens. After it happens, everybody's going to see it. Well, yeah, of course, Paul had a secret administration, and we know that the tribulation came after the snatching away. In hindsight, everybody's going to be a genius. But now you have to do what the smart people in Israel did then, which was pay attention to the writings. Paul's writings are just as inspired as those of Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, even our friend Habakkuk. Habakkuk, not Habakkuk, Habakkuk. So there's a guy I'd want to be, Ezekiel. If I had to be a guy, I told you I didn't want to be. I know a lot of you people are worried about my health. One woman wrote me and said, Martin, every time I see you smoking that damn cigar on Fridays, I want to cry for you because you're killing yourself. Well, I'm like Bill Clinton. I don't inhale. You don't inhale a cigar. You just kind of let it sit there and then. But, you know, I'm considering myself kind of smart here. You know, I just took these things up a year ago or two. And it's going to take me 50 years to die from them. And I'm going to die anyway in 50 years, assuming the snatching away doesn't occur. So don't worry about me. I'm good to go. I got nothing to live for here anyway. I'm poor, distraught, downtrodden. I'm only looking for my Savior and trying to pacify myself with a little nicotine. Is that so bad? Is that so bad? Give me my little crutch, will you? All right, so Ezekiel, he sees a further development in the distribution of time. Daniel, you know, he detailed the times that supervened over Israel prior to Messiah's advent. Daniel was all about how long. Now, but Ezekiel actually goes into the kingdom. He talks about the time following the setup of the kingdom. That would be a lot more fun. He talks about how cool the kingdom is going to be when it's set up. An example of this is he talks about Israel's restoration as a people, their political reunion, their independence. And that's what they wanted. And boy, they hated when the Romans were over them because they weren't independent then, were they? And they're not independent now. They depend on the U.S. and all these other outside sources to sustain them. Independence is what Israel wants, and she's going to have it. Ezekiel looked into that. So do you get this? Ezekiel is a special prophet. He goes into the kingdom. Daniel goes up to the kingdom. Ezekiel goes into it. Independence of Israel, their national restoration, their reinstatement in the land promised to the fathers, that is Israel, that land. And the reappointment of the land is going to be redistributed fairly, justly. And David, their shepherd prince, ruling over them. They love that truth because a lot of David fans out there. And even Peter said, David's grave is among us to this day. And, oh, yeah, that's right, darn it. But he's going to raise again. Yay! And he's going to rise to the head of the kingdom. And the sanctuary, here's a special thing. The sanctuary, Ezekiel goes into much detail about the millennial temple. And don't get any crazy idea in your head that that millennial temple described by Ezekiel, I think in the 40th chapter, 44 or something, read the whole book of Ezekiel, you'll find it. Don't think that that's anything but the millennial temple. It's not Solomon's temple. It's not the false temple at the end of this eon. It's the millennial temple. So this guy, instead of the valley of dry bones, he sees a resurrected people standing up as a mighty army with a spirit of life from God. I call Ezekiel the Disneyland prophet. He had it made. But wait. There is a dark shadow. The Ferris wheel is broken, folks. The Matterhorn is in a state of disarray. The Disneyland ride. Not everything's perfect in Disneyland because Ezekiel has some bad news to bear. And that is that Israel's kingdom, he goes into the kingdom now, he sees something that no other prophet saw. Israel is in for another shock at the end of the kingdom. At the end of the 1,000 years, only Ezekiel talks about this. After many days of prosperity, the kingdom is going to undergo a change. There's going to be a rebellion. There's going to be a rebellion. So instead of three, I'm going to tell you what it is. Hold on. Don't pressure me. I'm only human here. Okay. The prophets had this famous saying back then. It was Olam Va'ed. Olam Va'ed. I don't know the Hebrew accent. It could be Va'ed for all I know. Maybe you're supposed to gag somewhere near Va'ed. But Olam, which means for the eon and beyond. So they had this general vague phrase they used to say. This is how it's going to be for the eon and beyond. So they used the phrase and beyond, which was the Va'ed part, V-A apostrophe E-D, to describe an unknown period. They talked about the kingdom eon and beyond. Ezekiel goes into the beyond. So he gives a clear view of what the earlier prophets, even the post-exile prophets, just said for the eon and some other stuff at the end. Yeah. That's how exact they were. So I gave you the scheme before. I said the pre-exile prophets saw pre-messianic times, advent of Christ, suffering, death, kick-ass, and the kingdom. Post-exile prophets said, nope, sorry. Pre-messianic times, first advent, bad ending, intervening time period, second advent, then messianic kingdom. So Ezekiel goes even further because he gets further revelation. God gives him a better telescope. He sees now pre-messianic times, first advent, a dispersion, second advent, messianic kingdom. Everybody went that far. Now there's a new thing, Gog and Magog. Gog and Magog. There's going to be a rebellion at the end of the 1,000 years. And the 20th chapter of the unveiling of Jesus Christ by John goes into this. Talks about the collapse of the regime of apparent peace and goodwill. And we have armies raised up from Gog and Magog. And people say, I wonder who Gog and Magog are. Is it the Russians? Is it Iran? No, it's neither, because there's no such thing as Gog and Magog yet. These cities, these countries won't exist until the 1,000 years. So, what the ancient seers could just barely discern, Ezekiel goes right up against it. He gives you most of the good news. Most of the good news, but then he talks about this rebellion. And it's reserved for the greatest prophet. I told you. Now, John, again, he describes, John goes into the new heavens and the new earth more than anybody else goes to. It's in the last two chapters. That's John's shining stage. John, the last two chapters, he blows all the other prophets out of the water because he goes into details of the city. Of the city that's after the kingdom, after Gog and Magog, that was part of the beyond. John takes the Olam Vaed, and he just like gives it clarity. He goes out of the millennium. This is unheard of. He goes out of the millennium into a new heavens and a new earth. They were on virgin ground here in prophecy department. So John was the greatest of these prophets besides Jesus Christ, obviously. But Jesus Christ didn't tell these things. He held them for John. So John talks about this wonderful new city, wonderful new earth, wonderful new Jerusalem. Goes into great details in the last two chapters. Great specificity John does. Now, the greatest prophet of all, however, is the Apostle Paul. This guy takes us out of the fifth eon even, out of the fifth eon, and he takes us into the consummation when God is going to bring everything back to himself. The greatest of the prophets, Paul was given a telescope like the frickin' Hubble. Hubble Paul. He gets the Hubble telescope, and he sees galaxies, and he sees everything brought into subjection to Christ. Here's how the graph looks with Paul. Pre-Messianic times, got that, duh. First Advent, yeah, been there, done that. Dispersion of Israel, Second Advent, right? Messianic Kingdom, Paul's all over that. He knew all about it. He knew all the prophets better than anybody. Gog and Magog, sure, that's old hat. Then the Age of the Ages, yeah, John talked about that. The Age of the Ages, the Eon of the Eons, we talked about that last week. The Fifth Eon, the New Heavens and New Earth. Now we're talking about the Son's abdication of all rule and all authority. The Son actually gives up rule and authority. John leaves us with the nations under the authority of Israel, not as priests, but as kings in the fifth eon. Paul goes to the consummation, where no one had dared see. And no one has seen past that. No one. Paul finished the Word of God. He completes it, talks about the consummation. So that in the development of prophecy, Paul's the ultimate. So you got pre-exile prophets, post-exile prophets, you got the Disneyland prophet, Ezekiel, you got John, and then you have Paul, and he's the ultimate. Folks, I hope you're enjoying these shows, and it would be great if you could help me keep them going. You know, like I say, I'm only human here, and I do the best I can, but I'm not a machine. I get discouraged once in a while, and I need encouragement and help. And a lot of you are writing me, telling me you enjoy this show. I need that. If that's all you can do, just write me and say, Martin, you're doing a great job. And just go to a thesaurus and get all the synonyms of great and wonderful and just cut and paste and tell me how much you like this show. And if you can help to keep the show going financially, that would be great. I have bills to pay. And if you go to my website, martinzender.com, there's a handy little thing at the top left called Donate to Martin's Ministry. That's me. I'm Martin Zender. And I could use the help. If you're getting any benefit out of this, I don't require, you know, you to pay for these shows. I always tell people, and I have told people this for 21 years, you know, what's it worth to you? You know, if you're getting benefit from this and you can help, please do. There's an automatic withdrawal thing that you can do. Like $10 a month would be fantastic. It would be encouragement to me. Like I said, I'm not a machine. I get discouraged. I smoke the same cigar 3 weeks in a row. So if you can help, thank you. I appreciate that. Next week, going to be really fascinating. We're going to talk about the 77s, the 490 years that God told the prophet Daniel would be required for Israel until all her deepest Disneyland fantasies would be fulfilled. Next week, the 70 heptads of Daniel.